This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother Canada 10 recap of the Wednesday night episode, the veto episode of Big Brother Canada 10. With me tonight to recap what went down in this little fun-sized recap, I've got Melissa with me. How you doing, Melissa?
I am doing well. Oh, sorry. I didn't even wait. I should have waited for my cue. I jumped the gun on that. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm doing good. It's weird. I was telling you earlier, it's weird to not have the chat like going along the side. I feel like it's like we're missing something, but you know, just a conversation between friends.
It's like Orisa with no audience.
Exactly. You know? It does kind of feel like that. It's like, you don't get like the vibe of like, am I doing well? Are we like in agreement or what's going on here? So yeah,
we're socially distancing from the audience.
Well,
recording it ahead of time.
Yeah, very important to socially distance in time, not in space.
Yes. In the fourth dimension. So we're here to talk about this veto episode of Big Brother Canada 10. I thought it was a pretty good episode. I mean, very dramatic, with all the Marty stuff. And again, like, I feel like this is probably going to go underreported and unappreciated for the most part because it should be the given, but accurate edits, has been super nice. I'm so pleased with the edits of the show so far that they are not like going out of their way to make it seem like something is happening that's not happening, which is just, thank you.
To like try and find a narrator too, like where it's like someone who's not necessarily involved but has a good personality and they're like, let's just have this person talk a lot. I really like what they've been doing so far with the edit. Also, I really like what they've been doing with the DRs. I feel like they're purposefully making sure that the majority of them are like very real and allowing people to have like space to like not say anything in the DR and kind of just give like their reaction via silence or whatever, you know. Like, I think at one point we had Gino just by himself, like in the DR, just like after a conversation with someone or whatever. And it's like, you really can fully understand like, oh, he's struggling to come like to make a decision here, or he's like, he's really torn on this or whatever. And I feel like for the majority of recent seasons, we've had like, I really don't know what to do here because on the one hand, so-and-so is my ally. And then it's like, instead, it's like, can't we just have someone just sit in their decision or like sit in their like thoughts for a minute so we can really fully get that it's like a hard choice for them? I don't know. I just feel like that's always been such a big pet peeve of mine, where like the earlier seasons were really good and the later seasons have been really bad. And so to kind of have this like earlier season DR vibe is very, very nice.
It is. It's nice. So let's run straight through this episode. I'm so fired up here to be talking with you, Melissa.
I'm friggin' fired up to go right now.
Let's go. Friggin' fired up. I'm friggin' fired up about that finger tapping that Gino did. How dare he tap his fingers at me?
Marty was mad.
Marty.
Like, I really, like, I guess I didn't really fully understand how, like, pissed off he was. I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. I didn't know that he was, like, so mad. I thought it was kind of like an act, but I do feel like it was very genuine. I don't know. I was hoping it was an act, I guess.
No, yeah. Yeah, I was saying that as I was watching on Twitch. I was like, does anybody else just feel like for some reason the anger doesn't feel all the way genuine with Marty? I feel like it might just be the language barrier, that the English is like a second language, or that like he just got that like the accent, that where it's like he's not like expressing himself in the same way that you would expect somebody to like who is speaking English to express themselves, and so for that reason it like feels a little bit different, or it could just be that Marty's playing it up for the cameras, which is very possible.
Yeah, no, I thought like from throughout the week I thought like, oh, he's mad, but it seems like he's kind of fake mad. Like, it doesn't seem like he's actually mad. And so I suspected that we would get like a DR of him being like, oh, I'm playing this up or whatever, I'm not really that pissed. But we didn't get that. So that's why I was kind of like, oh, okay, I guess he is really upset.
Yeah. I mean, I think it doesn't help that he then does have a conversation where he's like, I'm going to be pretend mad. Right. Like, how much of it is real?
It's like, I need to know what, if you're mad or not mad. I feel like that's been like a theme this season where people are like, I'm going to pretend to be mad, but also I'm going to be kind of really mad, but also pretend. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah. I did not get a chance to go back and watch Gino's speech again, because obviously we saw it in the recap. But but then when Gino, when Marty says, how dare he tap his fingers at me, I was like, oh, my God, I need to see the finger tapping. I haven't seen. What is the finger tapping? Like, what did he do? Did he do this? What is he tapping with his fingers? I don't understand.
I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you. I don't know. I don't know what the finger tapping is.
He said I backstabbed and disrespected, and he tapped his fingers at me.
Maybe it's like he was like counting on his feet, like, you backstabbed, you disrespect. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, me neither.
And I wasn't paying that close attention to his fingers, but clearly I should have been.
Maybe someone will send a GIF for us in the future.
See, if we had the chat.
They'd just be posting the GIF.
Yeah, and they'd be telling us, like, how could you not know about this?
Yes, this is such an obvious Canadian thing, the finger tapping.
Wow, it's rude that you guys didn't notice it.
You Americans.
You Americans just don't get it.
Ignorant. Yeah. We're gonna hear from Summer that she wants Kyle up on the block. That is her goal for the week with Gino as the HOH. He didn't bite the first time, but she's not gonna give up. You know, after the big mess that Kyle left for us, we're still reeling from the Kyle HOH. Marty says something that's very true.
If Kyle would have run his HOH the right way, we wouldn't be in this mess right now.
So thank you, Kyle.
It is so frustrating to me that Marty's like, if you would have just done it right. And it's like, Kyle put Josh up on the block for you. You told him to put him on the block. Like, I get that the rest of the week was messy, but like, to have Marty be upset that, like, I could see a situation where if Kyle didn't do what Marty said and didn't put Josh on the block, then Marty could be upset and be like, look, if we had just put Josh on the block, this all would have been not a problem. But he did what he asked him to do. And now Marty's like, I can't believe you did that. If I was Kyle, I'd be really upset with Marty.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely are not getting along very well. You know, after the veto, when Kyle's congratulating Marty, he's like, seriously, though, that was congrats, man. I'm done with that guy.
He's not happy. Honestly, it is kind of like, it would be so frustrating to me if I was Kyle. To have this guy being like, this is who you need to put on the block, putting the idea in your head, and then you do it for him. I mean, for yourself as well, but like, that idea was given to you by him. And then he turns on you and is like, yeah, well, you shouldn't have done that. That's really bad. I can't believe you did this. It's like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think, though, like, Marty is also justified here in that, like, he wasn't communicated to at all. And, you know, it's not like Kyle did it for Marty, as you said. Like, he also, like, he did it because he thought he could. And, you know, it wasn't like, okay, you know what, Marty, I'm doing this for you. You know?
Like, to be fair, that's from Kyle's perspective. I'm saying from Kyle's perspective, I'd be upset. But like, from Marty's perspective, like, I understand why Marty would be like, look, like, this whole HOH was a mess. And like, I'm disassociating myself. Totally. But like, yeah, like if I'm Kyle, I feel totally abandoned by Marty. Like maybe everyone else who kind of like expressed hesitancy, or maybe were like, don't put these people on the block. Like, okay, maybe. But like Marty was like right there with him in the end with the Josh nom.
Yeah. I do like that we got just like a little taste, a little tiny reference to one of my favorite plot lines of the week, which is Josh and Jess, where last week Jess was so such a supporter of Josh. And then the second they touched the block next to Marty, Josh was like, I suck so much that Marty got put up on the block. I'm definitely saving Marty. And we get just a small little reference to that in the episode where Josh is saying, oh, it sucks so much that Marty's up on the block with Jess right there. Mm-hmm. And Jess is like, yep, sucks to be on the block. Oh yeah. And it sucks for you too.
I was so bad. That was so bad. It's like, okay, why does it suck so much to have Marty on the block, but like not to have me on the block? And like, you could tell for sure that that was like an afterthought, like add on comment of like, oh, and you as well. I mean, obviously you, it sucks for both of you guys. It's like, yeah, like obviously it sucks for us because we're on the block, but you definitely feel like it sucks for Marty and you care less about me being on the block. I would feel so bad if I was Jess. That was just such a bad, bad moment.
Yeah. And Jess very clearly caught it too. Like, they were like, okay, I see what's happening here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would make me really nervous too. It'd be like, okay, so clearly if the vote were tomorrow, Marty would be saved and I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. So that's got to like throw up some red flags right there.
Yeah. And so then we get to one of the stranger segments I've seen on Big Brother Canada in a little while. Before we get the Marty and Gino talk, where Marty talks about being hurt, which I've got the clip. We have one of those, you know, we just have these random, like last episode, it was the gravy. They're like, oh, is that oil? No, it's gravy. What do I do with it? Like these just raise random little moments. We got one of those random moments here in this episode as well. The thing that sets it apart for me is the music behind it not matching the tone whatsoever.
Why don't you lick the crust?
There's some times where like I feel like eating the crust, and there's other moments where I'm just like,
no. Why do they have like the sinister, like, oh no, what's happening? Oh no. That's like strategy, like something bad's about to happen music.
Why don't you like the crust? I don't know. Sometimes I do eat the crust and sometimes I don't. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, no. Yeah, I feel like if you put that to like goofy clown music, it's like some goofy moment. And then you put it to this music, it's like, does this have to do with strategy? Is this like something weird that they're saying, like a code? I don't know.
It's like the editors like accidentally used the wrong music.
Yeah, they used the wrong sound clip. That's weird.
They're just like fully on autopilot. Like, all right, we got this one. We got the Marty and Gino convo coming up. That's going to be the dramatic music. So let's play. We got the dramatic music. All right, the crust conversation. We got to edit the snake tail after she says she doesn't eat the crust. And just move like, straight on. And it's like, just totally like was in a tunnel and didn't even notice what they were doing.
When I was doing the drunk Big Brother drunk history, I like downloaded the like sound library of like Big Brother music, like background music. And so I literally would just do that. I would just like insert, okay, this one works here. This one works there. This is like, these are classic Big Brother things. When some of them like didn't quite make sense as to like what was going on in the scene, it was like supposed to be dramatic. And it was like, duh, 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 duh. So I, you know, I tried, but you know, I can see how that can happen. You have like your set little Big Brother library of sound clips and sometimes you hit the wrong button.
I mean, it's what we're doing with the Squid Game music. It's like, Melissa, why don't you like crust?
Sometimes I like it and sometimes I don't, Karen. The big reveal. It worked.
It's also like, it wasn't even like, I hate crust. Crust is the worst. It was the most neutral.
Right. It was just like, sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. You really can like change.
There's some times where like, I feel like eating the crust And those are the moments where I'm just like,
it's so bizarre. I feel like it's like, I mean, you really can just like change a moment with music. Like you, the right music to it can really like make something. It's like those trailers or whatever, where you like, they put like the, you know, they turn like a, The Shining into like a
rom-com.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. Whatever. Exactly. It was.
Yeah. Whatever. They do so many different ones like that. And it is kind of crazy how the music can like, yeah, the music can change it.
Yes. Well, we get to, we get to the Chino and Marty conversation where Marty explains that he's been hurt.
Dare. You friggin' hurt me. Yeah. That was personal.
Oof.
That was really intense.
Yeah. I've got a couple of like individual, like
that was personal.
Oh, that's a great one. And then
hits.
You friggin' hurt me.
The music.
Yeah. The next time somebody says that they don't like the Bad Boy clip, I'm going to play this clip.
You friggin' hurt me.
Yeah. That's
that
good.
Was personal.
That was personal. That Bad Boy clip is really personal to me.
Yeah.
I think I'm the only one who likes that clip.
You are.
But I like it enough that it makes up for everyone else hating it.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
Yeah. it's what I always, if just one person enjoys what I'm doing.
If just one person. Yeah. If I can reach one person with this sound clip, it's been worth it.
Just make one person
all the
day
torture.
With this. Yeah, just one bad boy out there who's just like, I feel so hurt by this clip.
Bad boy. I just want to touch one bad boy.
Oh boy. All right.
Send help. See, this, somebody.
This is what we get when we don't have the chat here to like keep us in check.
Oh no.
Dangerous.
Oh man. So this is where like Marty is talking about how hurt he is by the whole thing. It's a very dramatic scene, and this is where we get the Gino diary room where he's like,
right. Where he just like did I make a mistake? And to be fair, I do think Marty is right in his, you know, when he said to Gino, like, hey, if this was all for like optics or show or whatever, like you could have told me beforehand. Mm-hmm. I hate the stuff about like, and I get that it's all very like Dan's funeral of like, I couldn't have told you before because then you wouldn't cry. And it's like, you know, I get that. But at the same time, like, Danielle was really hurt by that. And like, you still are hurt by the thing, even if you find out later that like, oh, well, it was all just for show. It's like, yeah, but it still hurts. Like in the moment you felt that hurt, you thought it was real, and that doesn't go away. So I do agree with Marty that like, if it is actually for optics, then like, give him a heads up, you know, that should be the way it goes. So I don't know. And I guess like, that's what Marty said that he was doing later on was like, given a little optic speech or whatever.
Yeah. So. I mean, I've always felt that way about all any jokes that make people feel bad, like whether it's like a quick trick of like, sorry, but I hate you. Like the thing that Kyle did to Herman when he was HOH, where it's just like, you think I'm an idiot, like making somebody feel bad and then being like, gotcha. I made you feel terrible. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, exactly. You are talking to the like anti-prankster right here. I absolutely hate pranks. I don't think a single prank is funny. I think pranks are all bad. I just think that it's not worth the hurt or the anger or the, you know, fear or the surprise or whatever to do a prank. It's the same thing with like surprise parties where like, you know, a surprise party is supposed to be that like you surprise someone with a party, not that you ignore them and pretend that you forgot their birthday all day. Like, I feel like that's the thing is like, if you do like something that's only a nice surprise, like, oh, okay, I'm going to give you a present. You don't know if you're getting a present or not, but like, I'm going to give you one later. But like, if you pretend all day long that like you've forgotten their birthday, you don't say a word to them, you don't wish them a happy birthday, you don't do anything. And then, oh, huh, isn't it funny? We made everyone pretend like they forgot your birthday. And now it's like a party. It's like, well, you still felt hurt all day long that people forgot your birthday. I could go on forever about how horrible pranks are.
It's like the friend. It's like the friend version of negging. Right. You're like, oh yeah, we forgot your birthday. We don't even care about you. And then you beat them down into submission so much that by the end of the day, they're so happy just for you to have come back to neutral
to
position.
Like normal,
we actually do know your birthday. Isn't that amazing? Aren't we so great? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, it's terrible. I can't. And I'm sure I'll get a message or something being like, but isn't it funny when so-and-so does this trick? No, it's not. It's not funny ever. It's not cool. It's not fun. It just makes people feel bad. So don't do it. Yeah. That's not right. Don't do it.
Okay. So we're going to get to the veto draw or the veto spin, I should say. And I thought the only real interesting part here, well, there are two interesting parts. First interesting part is, you know, the thing that inspired the Squid Game music was that earlier in the season, we had the imitation Squid music.
Arnie, I truly trust you. Mm-hmm. I was thrilled for you on both a personal level and a game level.
And now... we have some other imitation music as the wheel is spinning.
I got 20 on yellow, baby! 20 on yellow, baby! Oh, no!
Damn!
Since when does Jeopardy have a wheel?
It doesn't, right?
No.
I don't know. Okay. I was going to say, like, does it? Is this a trick question?
Why are we doing imitation Jeopardy music while the wheel is spinning?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's a game show, but, you know.
Yeah, you'd think that would be, like, for a question, like for an HOH competition where they're doing questions or something.
I mean, it's I will give it this. It's a lot more relevant than Squid Game to the Jess and Marty conversation.
True.
But I guess, I mean, you know what? You know, Jeopardy is a hot topic right now this with all the host drama and everything, right? Mm. So it's just another one of those. I mean, actually, less so now, right? I feel like I haven't heard about it in a while. But
yeah,
definitely at the time of Squid Game airing, it was big news.
True. So
they're really
We're
just pulling
the
from
references.
The headlines.
Yeah. We're still way
a year
back
ago.
Then.
Yeah.
Soon we'll have some more relevant music, but it won't be relevant anymore. It'll be perfect.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
So they spin the wheel, and I thought the interesting part here, again, just a little reference to one of the storylines happening on the feeds that we're not getting as much of on the show, but just a little bit of a reference to it, is that when Jess gets the house guest choice option, they are going to pick Tanisha. And that's because Tanisha is very well connected and like a powerful player in the house, and Jess wants to build trust with her. And this is in reference to the fact that a lot of people are under the assumption that Tanisha is like a mastermind who is like super tight with Herman and Moose and has this sort of like big thing going, which is not the case, but a lot of people are convinced it is so, and to the point where Jess is going to say, I got to build trust with Tanisha because she's got so much going on.
maybe it's one of those things that's like people say it enough that then it becomes true. Like, I don't know, like maybe then eventually like people like Jess or whoever are like, I need to build trust with Tanisha. I need to be like working with them. And then they kind of just like, it ends up forming an alliance or something. Like Tanisha ends up having a lot of connections. I don't know. But I think what you said earlier is correct in that like part of the reason why people are thinking that Tanisha is so powerful is because she's not really talking game with that much or with that many people. You don't really see her scrambling. You see her cool, calm and collected and also like chatting with people. And the reason behind it is because she's not really talking game. But the thought is like, oh, she must feel like so comfortable with everyone that like she doesn't need to say anything, or that I'm not seeing her say anything, but she's probably feeling comfortable because she's talking with them behind closed doors. I'm just not a part of it. And that's probably influencing the other people in the house to make them think like, oh, she's in a good spot. I need to get with her. Where really that's not necessarily the case at all.
Yeah. Well, with the veto picks in place, we're going to see people preparing for the veto competition. And Moose has a great way to prep Summer and Tanisha for it.
Who's excited? You're excited. Who's excited?
I'm excited.
Veto gals.
Veto gals.
Veto gals. Veto gals. I like it.
It's great. great. Marty's way of preparing was saying this.
I'm not Marty anymore.
Who are you?
Yeah, that's a little scary.
Who is he? Who has he become? do they call him?
I'm not called Stir the Pot Poppy for no reason.
Is that it?
Yeah, who is he now?
I don't know. Then we get to the veto competition, and it is the box stacking boxes horizontally competition that we saw in Big Brother Canada 7. It's a Christmas theme.
I loved Christmas in March. I loved the theme. I thought that it was really cute that they had all the people who weren't participating as like little reindeer helpers. Yeah. And they each had like a little partner who like carried the little packages.
They needed to push the boxes down the conveyor belt. Every single, mm-hmm. they were there standing there pushing the boxes down. It was like, you couldn't have just.
Like had a conveyor belt?
Had a conveyor belt that worked? I don't know. I guess they're on a limited time, you know, a schedule here, but, you know, it was funny.
It was very cute. And I love, okay, so like part of my thing with like, especially with veto competitions is like, I love the how bad do you want it type of thing, or like the temptations. Mm. So I absolutely love the idea of like, okay, you can take this box that gives you a letter from home, but it adds an extra box or like, you know, you get this or that, and you know, it's either like a hindrance to you or you have to drop out of the competition or whatever it is. I love that stuff. So and plus it like rewards the people who like really want it.
Yeah.
It also kind of eliminates the people who don't care or who wouldn't use the veto.
Exactly. Like,
so I think that I loved that they added that component to it. If it was just people balancing boxes, like not as fun. But with the little like temptation element, it was so great.
It's a great way to, again, further encourage the veto to be won by somebody that will use it. Adding that. And I also love that it wasn't just like, you want a letter from home? Drop out of the competition. It was like, add a box, which will basically make you lose the competition considering how close it gets in the end. But you could still theoretically win it. And so it's more of a risk reward than it is just like fully giving
like
up,
yeah.
which is great as well. I like that aspect too. And we got this very dramatic moment where Tanisha is watching other people let the letter go by, and she really wants a letter from her daughter, but she's going to stick in it for the competition. She knows she might need the veto. I love this moment for Tanisha. It's heartbreaking to watch. But really does show like the drive she has for being here, which I really appreciated.
Yeah. Plus I think like the danger that she's actually in might get like lost on some like just casual viewers, just because like, it doesn't really seem like she's in any danger, like as much, because you're really focused on like the Kyle story, the Marty story, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you're kind of just like, yeah, well, why does she care that much? Like, she'll be fine. Like, just, you know, take the letter or whatever. But like, knowing that she actually could have gone on the block, you know, it is a scary thought. And the fact that like she has to give up the letter in order to save herself, it shows how much she wants it. And I think that it's a really good, it was a good moment for her for sure.
Yes. So after a very long competition, we are going to see Marty come away with the win.
This is one happy elf! Woo! Yes!
Ah! Okay. He's very excited.
So many clips from Marty. I mean, what is the star? Yes. What is the better veto celebration? This is Moose.
Power of veto, baby!
Check.
You try to put me on the bluff, try to pin everybody against me in the house, Kyle? Look what you did. Foolish. You can't get rid of me that easily, baby. Moose B is in the house.
It's a very long one. Then we got Marty. Long.
This is one happy elf. Woo! Yes!
Oh my God. Short but sweet.
Yeah. This is one happy elf.
Yeah, I feel like the yelling, like the empowered, like intense yelling, like does not fit with what he's saying.
Yeah.
Like, this is one happy elf. And then it's like, this is one. It's just like so intense. It feels
like he's going to say something else. It feels right, like he's like, this is war.
Yeah. It like, does. I was literally thinking that it sounded like he was going towards like, this is war. But then it just turned into like, this is one happy elf. It's like, okay. We're really happy. Okay. That's good.
Yes.
Like, that's not what I expected you to say.
I know a lot of people wanted your opinion on the costumes, the competition costumes. People always are interested in your opinion.
I loved them. And the little shot of Herman like this with this little outfit was so adorable. I was just like, oh my God. I think Herman is so adorable. I don't know why. He's just like, he's so adorable when he's talking to the camera. It's like, you know, like when Dr. Will used to like talk to the cameras all the time and like kind of like, you know, tease him. Herman is so adorable. But yeah, no, I thought that was so, the costumes were so cute. I loved that they made all the people who were not participating still wear a costume and dress up as cute little reindeer. Phenomenal. Loved it.
Phenomenal. All right. Well, Marty's going to talk with Gino. He says that he does want to reconcile and he wants to work with them. They're going to make this big speech in the veto ceremony to make it for more optics. But this time there's an advanced warning. We'll get back to this. Then we're going to see Summer pitching. Hey, Kyle should go up on the block. I'm telling you. And for all intents and purposes, I mean, we watched this conversation and Gino gives her nothing. And in fact, she shuts the conversation down as soon as she brings it up. He's like, all right, I got to talk to other people. And it really felt like, okay, that didn't work. Then we're going to see that he is starting to consider some other things. I like how they portrayed this on the show. They left out the Helena conversation, which was definitely like the turning point for Gino. Helena is going to give Gino a ton of information about Tanisha and Herman and all this stuff about why he wouldn't have the votes. The intention not being to get Kyle on the block, but it ultimately kind of convinces him that it is the route he should take. I don't fault the editors for leaving this out, though, because, again, it wasn't really Helena's intention, I believe, to get Kyle on the block. And it gets into, like, all the information she's dumping gets into a whole other can of worms that's very difficult to explain because it's not even correct information, but they believe it's correct, and it's very, very messy. I think it makes a lot more sense to go from Summer to Kyle in the conversation being like, all right, time to get what I want out of this HOH. Time to push my agenda. Hey, Gino.
Where's Moose?
Get Moose up on that block.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so first of all, I thought that Summer was really great. And to see her in the diary room really like showed me that she really knows what she's doing. I feel like it's one thing to be like, hey, you should get Kyle out and to tell Gino that in person, but then to like explain yourself in the diary room and like what you're doing and be able to like kind of understand like how you're trying to get this to happen. I don't know. I just feel like it really solidified for me that she really knows what she's doing and she's doing everything with intention and isn't just like, not that I thought this, but just, you know, you never know. You know, someone who for her is not like clearly a strategic mastermind. She's very, very social and she uses that to her advantage, but it's like, you don't know whether or not it's just her being social and being intelligent, versus like, okay, I know where I need to be in this game and I know where everyone else needs to be. And so to see her in the diary room, I thought it was fantastic. And I agree. Like, I think like leaving the Helena thing off, like it's totally understandable. I mean, the point is getting Kyle on the block. Like, it's not about like the votes or anything. Like, maybe that did like tip his mind, but like, or tip his decision or whatever, but like, it really doesn't add that much to the narrative. So I totally get why they left it off. And then of course, yeah, Kyle coming in, you can just tell Gino is just like not having this conversation, like again with the moose thing. Like, and you'd think that like Kyle would have learned that like, okay, this didn't work last week. Like, clearly the whole, like everyone turned against me. Like, I'm not in a good spot and really shouldn't be trying to push this again right now. Like, maybe later on you try and get Moose out, but right now, like, you should literally just be doing whatever Gino wants at this point, because you just want to show to him like you're a good ally, you're a loyal person, you want to work with him. Whatever he wants is what you want as well, and you're a vote for him, et cetera, et cetera. Because trying to push your own agenda after just having such a disastrous HOH week, like, now is not the time for that. So this conversation was just handled so poorly, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he basically sat Gino down and was like, all right, Gino, it's time. I know I've been kind of out of it this week, but it's time for the real talk.
My degree is not in English. It is in sport media.
What? Well, this is the same thing you said last week. Have you not learned?
I know. It's literally, it just goes to show, if I'm Gino, it would absolutely show me that Kyle learned nothing from his HOH week. And he's still going to be a liability. Like, he's still going to be a problem.
Again, I would say very accurate, I think, to give Summer the credit here. I said this on the roundtable, but I think that despite the fact that obviously there are multiple factors that come into the decision here, I really do think that Summer is the key element to all of it, if not for Summer pushing in the way that she did, using the arguments that she did, that Gino is going to repeat later on as reasons for why he's doing this. I don't think it happens. And I think she's doing the best in the game right now. So I think it makes a lot of sense to give her this narrative in the episode. And I'm very glad that they gave it to Summer, because I feel like in a different Big Brother Canada season, like, this credit would have gone to like Kevin or something. Like, even that, like, it would have gone to it would have gone to Marty. Like,
yeah, would have gone to Marty, because Marty's like the star of the episode. So
yeah, yeah,
been like, oh, okay, now it's Marty's turn to be like, you know, Kyle, I'm against Kyle, and you really got to put him up, whatever. I think that they could have absolutely just portrayed Summer as just like, you know, this flighty, like, fun, happy person in the house who's just there for entertainment. And that's really not what she is, even though she brings that as well. You know, I think that the editors are doing a really good job. I mean, we can't praise them enough, you know?
Yes. Then we get Gino letting Kyle know, and we get deer in the headlights Kyle. He's just going to kind of accept it. We go straight into the veto ceremony where Marty tells Gino, hey,
Gino, it sucks to suck.
Ooh.
Man, that's so harsh.
Oh, man, that
hurt. Dare. You friggin' hurt me. Yeah. That was personal.
Oof. That's a rough. Sucks to suck.
Yikes. That is the worst thing you could say to someone. Yeah, no, I don't know. That the speech was funny, but I don't know.
He was like, I'm gonna really dig in on you in this veto speech.
Yeah, I thought he was really going to like to say something really bad. I did not know it was just going to be like, it sucks to suck, which is like a classic like teenage.
It's just like a very generic like taunt. Yeah, like,
sucks to suck. Yeah. It's not even like something really intense.
It's no finger tapping.
No, God, no, it's no finger tapping. That's for sure. And I do want to touch on something, which is that I love the Marty and Gino conversations where they speak in like half French and half English, where like it's sometimes they'll say like some phrase in English and then they'll like continue on in French and then they'll like say another phrase in English. It's just, it's so fun. And also I do feel like it it makes everything seem like way more intense.
It does.
Like these conversations that they're having, it's just like, oh my God. It's like some sort of like, it feels like I'm watching like a foreign language film.
I had
like,
oh the exact same reaction, right? Melissa. I was watching on Twitch and I was literally, when he was up in the HOH room talking to Gino, I was like, I just got a flash to like a foreign thriller. Like,
right. It feels like that. It feels like you're watching a movie. Like, it's very intense. It makes it so like, whoa, oh my God, what's going on? Like, they're plotting. Oh my God.
The subtitles.
And yeah, it's very different from watching just a normal like Big Brother scene. I don't know. Yeah. I like them working together. I hope they continue. It's great.
All right. Well, that is, that's the episode. Kyle on the block. Summer's happy. Everybody's happy except for Kyle.
Did they give us like little sound bites of them at the end? I feel like we didn't get that.
I think Summer was like, this was the best day ever.
I thought it just like ended. I was like, oh, we don't get anything. Maybe my stream just ended.
Maybe.
What did Kyle say?
I don't remember what Kyle said. I don't know. Maybe he didn't say anything. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I was looking for.
And wasn't very memorable. Anything.
I don't know. I guess we also got the conversation where he told Kyle about it,
which was
a little like, obviously like a little like lackluster, because it was like, we didn't get that much from it. You kind of always hope for like more of like, please don't do this or something. Instead, he's just like, oh, okay, look, give me a hug. It's like, okay, I get that it's like the mature thing or whatever, but like, you know, you'd hope there'd be some sort of like fight before he gets put up on the block as the replacement nominee. Like, he really doesn't stand a chance, like when he's like, after he's already on the block at like, after being backdoored, like it's like he doesn't really stand a chance to like garner the votes at this point, just because he's such an easy like target. I mean, who knows? But at the same time, it's like, I mean, come on, everyone wants him out. And so it's like his really one big chance was to get Gino not to put him up. And I feel like he didn't really fight back. I don't know if it would have made a difference, but you would at least hope he would try. I do appreciate though that he said, you know, was my HOH tweet like really that bad? And Gino's like, yeah, it was a mess. So
yeah, it was that bad. Was,
I'm glad that sort of conversation happened. But
yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Well, that could be it for Kyle Moore. Kyle could be no more here in the Big Brother Canada 10 house. We will have to see tomorrow night on the eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 10. We will, of course, be live after the episode to recap what goes down. Hopefully, we'll have another live HOH. We'll get to speculate on what might happen in the following week. I'll also be live on Twitch watching the episode, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. If you want to come hang out there, I was live tonight watching tonight's episode as well as tonight's Survivor episode, which was very fun. And I will also be recording with Shannon about Survivor, for the Survivor Stockwatch. It's a crossover episode. Survivor Global meets the Survivor Stockwatch. We're going to be recording that on Friday. So look out for that. Tons to talk about, from tonight's Survivor episode. And then of course the live feed update tomorrow and every other morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything happening on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn and check out the Taryn Show with Tyson last week and this week with Peridium. Talk to Peridium for the Taryn Show, a big YouTuber who makes content about Survivor and Big Brother. So check all of that out. You can, of course, find Melissa at It's Melissa with 3 A's. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight or whenever you're watching/listening to this. And we'll see you next time.